My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Walking in here today, I couldn't help but notice as I'm sitting in the B. Mitch and Finley studio. I see Doc Walker sitting in here earlier today, and I see to his right this board. I had no idea. I get in here, I get to check it out, and it's a beautiful, like a board. What would you describe this as? Like a frame sort of board.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, a picture frame pin board type.
Yeah, a pin board, and it's beautiful. It's got like an artificial grass turf on it. You've got the Commander's W painted on the left. You've got some lines. It looks like a football field. And on it, pinned up, are football cards, trading cards from all types of Redskins legends, to the point that we've gone through this. I don't know that this is not the almost perfect all-time Redskins Commanders lineup.
I mean, it's going to vary like what era you grew up in, but I mean, it's batting at least 850, 900.
So we got to go through this. Got to give credit to Damon and Oxenhill, a loyal listener to the station. Credit to Damon. This is fantastic. This is one of the coolest pieces of memorabilia, whatever you want to call this, that I've seen in quite some time. So credit to Damon and Oxenhill. Toby Altizer with you till 3 o'clock here. We're going to go through this board. So we want to start offense or defense here, Max?
Ooh, I'm a defense guy. Let's go defense.
All right, we're going to start with the defense. We're going to go through here. I wonder if JP has posted a picture. I'll leave that up to them. But if so, you'll have to ask them to show it on the stream if they haven't, or ask for them to do a picture. This is their thing. But we're going to go through the starting defense here. Starting defensive end, Charles Mann. Charles Mann, can't beat it. Other defensive end, Dexter Manley. And up the middle on the defensive line, Daryl Grant and John Allen. I don't think you can change anything there. I think that's pretty good. I think that's pretty good. Linebackers, Monty Coleman. We got Ryan Kerrigan coming off the edge as an outside linebacker. And Kurt Gouveia as a middle linebacker. I think if you could, I would put London Fletcher in here somewhere. But overall, can't complain about what you got here. Starting on the back end, at safety, we have Alvin Walton, and we got a really cool rookie, Sean Taylor, because he's wearing 36. How cool is that?
It's probably, and personally, one of the coolest cards on the board.
Absolutely.
At least for me.
Absolutely. And at corner, we got two Hall of Famers, Daryl Green and Champ Bailey. I mean, how awesome is that?
Two for two.
And I want to like reiterate that like this is a legit board with trading cards on it. Like, how cool is this to have in the studio? So you've got Charles Mann, John Allen, Daryl Grant, Dexter Manley. On the outside, you've got two Hall of Famers, Daryl Green. You've got Champ Bailey. You've got Monty Coleman, Kurt Gavea, and Ryan Kerrigan at linebacker, and Alvin Walton and Sean Taylor on the back end. I mean, that is fantastic. And you can't change many of these guys if you're just going all-time and naming guys. That, literally, that's how good this lineup is. I love this. On the offensive side of the ball, we've got, starting up front, we've got Trent Williams at left tackle. We've got Raleigh McKenzie at left guard. We've got Jeff Bostic at center. We've got Russ Grimm at right guard. And we've got Joe Jacoby, the should-be Hall of Famer, at right tackle. That's a pretty stout offensive line. It's a pretty good offensive line. At tight end, we got Chris Cooley. At wide receiver, we've got Art Monk. We've got Terry McLaurin. And in the slot, we've got Santana Moss. At running back, we've got, here comes the diesel, John Riggins. And at quarterback, we got Mark Rippon. I don't know that there's many changes here either. Anything that you would change? I don't think there's much here. I think you can argue about different quarterbacks.
I was going to say, you could put Doug on there.
I think you could make an argument for Theismann. I think you could make an argument for Sonny Jurgensen. So I think, you know, you can argue about the quarterback, but Rippon won a Super Bowl. So you get
it's true.
It one of the best quarterback seasons this team's ever seen.
We got to take him through the side of the board, too.
Yeah, well, we will. We will. But again, going through the offensive line, we got Trent Williams, Raleigh McKenzie, Jeff Bostic, Russ Grimm, and Joe Jacoby. Chris Cooley at tight end. At receiver, you got Art Monk and Terry on the outside. You got Santana in the slot. You got John Riggins, the diesel, at running back. And you've got under center, Mark Rippon.
You know what this wants me to make, what makes me want to do, Toby? I want to play Madden Ultimate Team right now.
With just this team, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
With just this team. And then, coaching this team, so we got some guys on the side here. Coaching the team, we've obviously got the greatest coach of all time, Joe Gibbs. Because no one's going to be able to do what he's done. And win three different Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks. I don't know that you're going to see anyone else do that. One, people don't last long enough in a spot. Like, three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks, and it wasn't over the course of like 45 years. Incredible what Joe Gibbs was able to do. So Joe Gibbs coaching. We got Bobby Mitchell, who's listed as a flanker on his card. Flanker. Love that. Bobby Mitchell. We got Joe Theismann. Yeah, I guess he's the backup quarterback. He's sitting in a director's chair with his legs crossed. Looks good, Joe. You've got Chip Lowmiller as the kicker. And, of course, we've got the future Hall of Famer, should already be in the Hall of Fame, all-time leader in kick return yardage, second all-time in all-purpose yards in NFL history, behind only Jerry Rice, Mr. Brian Mitchell as your returner. Brian Mitchell's fantastic. Brian Mitchell, he should already be in the Hall of Fame.
Easily, without question.
So if I had to say, like, there's only a couple changes I would make here, and again, Damon and Oxon Hill was gracious enough to leave this in our studio. This is awesome. I'd have London Fletcher on here somewhere. I would have Mark Mosley as my kicker. And there is no punter. And we were having this argument. Tress Way probably deserves it, right, as the best punter. Give me Sammy Ball. I don't know. Did they do trading cards when Sammy Ball was playing?
You know, that's a great question. I
because
don't think so.
If so, give me Sammy Ball as my punter slash DB slash quarterback.
I need that card.
Like, how cool is that? Again, this is just a really cool board. So shout out to Damon and Oxon Hill on this awesome thing that he donated to B. Mitch and Finley. We went through it. It's like an all-time Commanders, Redskins lineup. So cool. So cool. One guy that's not on this list that we've got to talk about is Jahan Dotson. He's not on this board. He's never going to be on this board. And there was maybe a shot that he could replace a Santana in the slot down the line. Not anymore. He's in Philadelphia. We got to talk about that trade next here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo if you've persevered through. You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Really cool. A lot of these guys played before I was born. I didn't get to appreciate them, but believe me, I grew up watching. I'm barely old enough to remember VHS and VCR. Do you watch any stuff on that?
Oh, yeah, dude. Disney films? Oh,
well, I'm not like, talking Disney films. I
know,
could care less about that. I was watching Redskins history videos.
Man,
I was indoctrinated as a kid.
Wish I had those in my house.
I remember watching the history ones where it was going through everything. We're talking the Over the Hill Gang, George Allen. We're talking way back when, Sammy Ball. We're talking all those guys. And I have one that was recounting the 91 team winning the Super Bowl against Buffalo. So I used to watch those all the time. And I would never get sick of it.
You can't.
That's the only way I could see my team win.
Exactly. How can you get sick of watching your team win a championship like that? Are you kidding me?
That's the only winning I saw the burgundy and gold do as a child. Yeah, you know, I was thinking about this because, so I'll have conversations with my uncle all the time, and we're talking about, you know, the team, and he lives in Dallas, he lives in enemy territory, just like a mile and a half from the Star, the beautiful practice facility that the Cowboys have, and so we'll talk all the time, and we were texting back and forth the other day about the Dotson trade, and we're talking, and I was saying it was nice to have a legit front office for the first time in my life, and it dawned on me that that's legitimately true.
Yeah, it is.
I grew up with Vinny Serrato. I grew up with Vinny Serrato. What Dan bought the team in like 99?
Yeah.
I was born in 98. So I've only known a Dan Snyder-owned team, and I've never known a true general manager, head coach, owner sort of relationship in a normal, functional sort of atmosphere.
Dan Snyder has robbed us of so many things that we will never know.
Yeah.
But it's so nice. It's like slipping into your warm, comfy clothes after you get off work. Like, oh, we're a real football team now.
Well, and so part of the point that I made when they hired Adam Peters was it's going to be nice. It's difficult for us when you're ingrained in a place and you get to know the players and you like the guys on and off the field, and specifically off the field, because you get to know dudes. And, you know, we appreciate what John Allen does in the community. We love Terry McLaurin, not just because of what he does wearing 17 on Sundays, but because of what he does in the community and how good of a guy he is and the time he takes to talk to people. You know, if you got out to training camp, you'll see him signing autographs, talking to kids and all that stuff. So you get really close to these sorts of guys, and you know, as close as you can get as a fan to a player. But you grow a relationship. You really like these guys. Part of the reason I like that you bring in someone from the outside is they don't know anything about this stuff, or they've heard, but they don't have a personal rapport with any of these guys. And so what they can do is, in a way, be cutthroat. They can kind of just make the decision strictly on what happens between the white lines. And so when they make the decision on Jahan Dotson, like they made on so many other people this offseason, not bringing back a Cam Curl and basically overhauling half the roster and making decisions that maybe we weren't necessarily always fans of, but they were detached from all of this. You know, Adam Peters is looking at this football team. Now he's starting to ingrain himself, and this is becoming more of Adam Peters' football team that he's built, but it's still not Adam Peters' football team yet. It's only his first year. But he's moving on from pieces that he said, okay, this doesn't fit here. This doesn't work here. We're trying to do this. This doesn't fit. Most of us would have said there's no chance. If you asked us 2 or 3 months ago, no chance Dotson is not playing week one in burgundy and gold. No chance. But because Adam Peters comes in, he sees the fit isn't working, he's able to be more cutthroat. He hasn't built that sort of relationship yet with some of these guys. And he doesn't have any prior, like, oh, but he didn't spend the draft pick. And so he's able to make the tough decisions. And with the Jahan Dotson thing, a couple of things that we got to talk about with this. He showed so much promise as a rookie. And then this is something that happened with Chase Young too, is when you show promise as a rookie, your second year and beyond, you have expectations raised. So when you look back at Jahan Dotson's numbers as a rookie, you feel like he was really good. And then you go back and look at his actual numbers, and they really weren't all that impressive. Only 523 yards. He did score 7 touchdowns, 35 receptions. It's decent for a rookie year. But when you go forward, you have to build off of that. Like when you go back and look at Chase Young's rookie year, he had some games where he really stood out. He finished the year with 7.5 sacks. 7.5. That's not a bad number by any means. That's not an all-pro. That's not even close to approaching Pro Bowl caliber as a defensive end. So what's my point on this? Dotson showed promise as a rookie, and he never built off of it. So what did he become? He just became very average. Now, it was only 1 year after. How much of that is Bieniemy? How much of that is Howell? How much of that is the offensive line? How much of that is actually Dotson? We'll really never know. And it clearly didn't fit here with the different rumblings of him moping and all the different stuff. I don't know all these details, and I'm not going to be able to expound on that like others will. But what I can say is he never built off that rookie season. He just didn't. And so he showed promise as a rookie, but you go back and look, and he wasn't someone that's like, how could you move on from him? In 2 years, he has totaled 1,041 receiving yards. 2 years. Terry almost did that in 17 games last year. Terry goes for 1,000 every single year. Jahan's gone for 1,000 in 2 years. So it's something where, okay, you can stomach moving on. When you look at this team, if he wasn't going to be the number two receiver, if he wasn't going to fit in as that number two guy, whether that's going to be Zacchaeus, McCaffrey, De'Ami Brown, or maybe a combination of all those guys, then you almost have to think of it in this way. You detach yourself from it, because this is what Adam Peters does. When he walked in, he doesn't see former first-round pick. He sees Jahan Dotson. That's what he sees. He doesn't see that with Jamin Davis. He didn't draft him in the first round. So he looks at it and says, Jahan Dotson, what do I see? He's probably going to be a third receiver. We can get a third for him? And I think that Danny did a really good job of Grant Danny the other day laying this out. It's kind of false to say that they got a third-round pick for him. What they got is the difference between a third and a fifth-round pick, because they gave up a fifth with him. So in turn, what they did, they moved up 2 rounds, which might end up being 70-ish picks, because that pick is going to be somewhere towards the mid to back end of the third round, because I believe they're getting the better of the two that the Eagles have, whether it's Miami's or Philadelphia's. and they're going to give up a fifth-round pick for this next draft, which Washington is more than likely not going to be above 500. So that's going to be in the bottom half, first half of the fifth round. So you're probably moving 60, 70-ish picks. I don't know the exact math, but you're essentially moving up two rounds for Jahan Dotson. That doesn't give you great value. It doesn't. But at the same point, if you're viewing this guy as a third, fourth, struggling for playing time sort of receiver, you got to feel at least a little bit better about that. Although it sucks because as fans, we're ingrained he's a first-round pick. But I also want to say this, too. This idea that we keep throwing out there that Ron overdrafted these guys. He did. There's no doubt about it. We can look at Forbes. We can look at Dotson. We can look at Davis. All of them overdrafted. No doubt about it. You look at Dotson. I think he was back end of the first round, maybe. Early second round. I think you look at Jamin Davis. I think he was a second rounder, pretty squarely on a lot of people's boards. I think you look at Forbes. I think he was probably in that same Dotson sort of territory. Late first round, second round pick. This idea that those guys, that's why they're so bad, that is so incorrect. That is so incorrect. The reason that they're bad is they were overdrafted? No. They still have incredible talent. You're telling me Ricky Pearsall, who was drafted 32nd overall receiver out of Florida this year for San Francisco, you think they're going to feel good about 500 yards every year? No, they drafted him in the first round because he still is going to matter. That's the last pick of the first round, too. They think he's still going to be good. So even if Jahan Dotson would have went 30th overall where he was maybe projected to go, he still was supposed to be a first-round draft pick. So I don't understand where this narrative came in like, oh, the reason he sucks is he was overdrafted. No. That's not the reason he sucks. It's not. Because he was, at worst, going to be a mid-second-round pick. And a mid-second-round pick is still be able to produce. You're still supposed to be able to produce. Right? So I hate that narrative that goes around. A lot of it is the development. They didn't develop these guys. Craig Hoffman said something, I don't know if it was necessarily speaking about football, or I think we were talking about the NBA draft for the Wizards, but it applies in every single sport you look at. He said your development staff can make you right. So if you overdrafted Jamin Davis, but he turns into a Pro Bowl caliber linebacker because you're able to develop him in that role, suddenly that draft pick doesn't look bad.
I think every GM should have that tattooed somewhere.
And it's correct. It's correct. We've talked about this with the Nationals for years. What is the issue? Is it drafting or is it development? Well, it's probably both. Because you might draft the right guy, but you can't develop him. And so many teams, too, can draft lesser guys and develop them, and suddenly they look like geniuses because they were able to develop a guy. I think the big issue in Washington, I didn't necessarily love the picks, whether you like the picks or not. Even if you draft a guy around ahead of time, especially early on, that's still a very talented player. They didn't develop these guys and turn them into what they could be. Jahan Dotson, and whether this is on the guys or not, who knows? I mean, it sounds like from rumblings, you know, Jamin Davis is working his tail off at edge rusher. Credit to him. Emmanuel Forbes, maybe somewhere in the middle, a little grumbly, but still working hard to try and get better. It sounds like Jahan Dotson was grumbly and maybe a little bit frustrated with his role. Well, then that's on Jahan. And that's something you've got to figure out in the pre-draft process and all that. Clearly, they weren't here for that. But I hate this narrative that people keep throwing around is like, the reason that he was bad, he was so overdrafted. These guys did not get them to where they needed to be. And now, clearly, they're trying to reset this culture, the thing that Ron wanted to do, that he set a culture up. The culture was terrible under Ron. They're trying to redo all this and try to set a boundary of what they expect out of their players. Jahan wasn't meeting that. They move off of him. But I think that when you look at this team, Ron set them back, not because the drafting was horrible, which it was, but because he also didn't develop these guys at all. Emmanuel Forbes has talent to play outside corner in the NFL. I think if you drafted him, say he was drafted by Baltimore or somewhere in that late end of the first round, where he was likely to go if the Commanders didn't draft him. You're telling me that Forbes couldn't have been developed into a good cornerback? He's never going to be a physical guy. He's never going to be, you know, the best tackler on the outside because of his size. You're telling me they couldn't have developed him? Would Gonzalez have been a better pick? Absolutely. No question about it. Would Olave have been a better pick than Dotson? Absolutely. No doubt about it. Would Kyle Hamilton have been a better pick? Absolutely. No doubt about it. You're telling me that Dotson couldn't have been developed by one of these teams later in the first round? You're telling me that Jamin Davis couldn't have been turned into not just a serviceable but good linebacker by another team? That's the issue, was the fact that they couldn't develop these guys into being good football players. And when you combine overdrafting a kid with lack of development, that's where you get to where the Commanders are right now, where they overdrafted guys habitually and then did nothing to maximize their potential. So I just wanted to start with that, because pretending as if the reason Dotson sucked is because he was picked 16th when he should have gone 30th, that's not that big of a difference. That's not that big of a difference. People overdraft guys by 20 picks all the time to make sure that they get their guy. But you know what happens when you overreach and go get your guy? You better have a plan for that guy to fit in, to excel. They clearly did not. They clearly did not. 800-636-1067 if you want to hop in. We still got to talk a little bit more about the Dotson trade. I want to get some of your thoughts as well if you want to hop in. You can also tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. Let's keep it rolling here on Overtime on The Fan. Welcome back, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer taking you up until 3 o'clock. Right now we're talking about the Jahan Dotson trade. What'd you make of it? 800-636-1067. MGM National Harbor listener lines are open. You can tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. I just feel like so many people look at the Dotson pick, and they really any of Rivera's first-round picks outside of Chase Young, and they feel like, oh, they're reaches, and that's why they suck. And I can't overstate how wrong that is. It's one thing, like we were talking in the break, Max, it's one thing if they took a guy like an Alex Leatherwood, if you're the Raiders, if you remember, and he wasn't supposed to go until, I think, like the third or fourth round. Like, he just wasn't as talented, and they took him in the first. Or go back to a Darius Heyward-Bey, another guy that was a deeper down the board kind of guy, and they reached in the first round and took him because of one specific trait, speed, right? Dotson, at worst, was going top two. He was a top 50 pick, more than likely. You're telling me that if the Green Bay Packers or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the Kansas City Chiefs took a guy in the top 50, say 48th overall, they wouldn't still expect the guy to have 800 yards receiving pretty much on a yearly basis? I think you're wrong there. I think the idea that, oh, they were so overdrafted, they're not talented, that's wrong. They just never developed these guys into being what they should be. 800-636-1067. Let's get out to Kevin in Arlington. Kevin, what's going on?
Hey, Toby. Thank you for taking my call. I love this topic. I have a couple thoughts about it. First of all, the culture that Ron wanted was, as you say, a complete disaster. And the reality is, you can go back and read about it. In Snyder's first full year as owner, 99, it was stated then, there was this quote-unquote Club Med culture that had grown up out in Ashburn between the 91 greatest Skins team ever and when he got the team in 99. And it only got worse from there. And it was also a star system where he played favorites, as, you know, we saw it with Bob, et cetera. So all of that was cancerous to win. And that's gone now.
Yeah.
One of the things, though, about Ron and his Marty Party brain trust, I think you'll remember this, they had their guys that they liked. And so the perfect example is Manny Forbes was their guy. They liked him. And there's Christian Gonzalez unexpectedly there, and we don't take him. He's clearly the better player.
Yeah.
And there were, you know, I think a similar thing happened with Jamin Davis. There was 1 year sample of great production at Kentucky, and they got excited about it. They saw the physicality, et cetera. Well, the guy to pick was Joker, and half of the fan base knew it, and he just got extended in Cleveland for big money. So they were just terrible at this, all right? They just were. I agree with you. Development is a two-way path. You need the coaching and the training and the medical. You also need dogs. One thing I'm certain of more than anything as we are approaching the last preseason game, there's no longer a culture problem. There's a roster talent problem, courtesy of the last regime, and it's going to take some time.
Yeah.
But here's the last thing I kind of want to close on. I want to hear what you think. I'm an intuitive person. You know, when you take like the Myers-Briggs test, I score really high on intuitive. And so this may be more, I'm hoping, than wishful thinking. I just have this feeling that in the top 100 picks, in the three rounds where we got Jaden, Mikey, Johnny, we got Luke, we got Ben, and we got Brandon. I see that rookie class ascending quickly. And I think if I'm right about that, and the rest of the roster remains relatively healthy, that's how we're going to surprise. That's how we're going to rise up. I'm not suggesting we're going to be the Houston Texans of 2024. Houston had a lot more talent on that roster. But I believe in these dogs. They've got Sinnott and Luke and Coleman especially.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's being overlooked outside the market. Maybe I'll have egg on my face come November. But that, to me, the fact we do have Luke in the mix, I'm excited about it. I mean, his old man, it took him 1 or 2 years. He was drafted by the Giants, had 1 year with Shanahan and Frisco when they won the Super Bowl, and that's where he took off. And then when he went to Denver.
Sure. Yeah, McCaffrey was the man. Kevin, I got some other guys on the line. Appreciate the phone call, though, man.
Okay, I want to hear what you think about that after you talk.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you look at, I got this feeling. I don't know if anyone else felt it. And I'm not seeing just like from being around here. I'm saying from being out in Ashburn. I got this feeling that the rookie class was the one to turn things around. And those guys that he's talking about, they feel like the foundation. And so the foundation might take a little bit. It might take a year or two to build. But Jaden Daniels looks like a dude. Mikey Sanristil might already be the best corner and a top four defensive player on that side of the ball already for the team. Ben Sinnott, he hasn't even shown well in training camp overall from practices. But then you look what he did in the first preseason game against the Jets, and maybe there's some juice to still be squeezed there. If Brandon Coleman steps in and is able to play, and I've laid this out plenty of times before, he doesn't have to play Pro Bowl caliber left tackle. If he plays average left tackle, you win. Because of the fact that you got him where you did, and you found a starting left tackle. So that, to me, feels like the foundation. And Luke McCaffrey, I don't know what you're going to get out of McCaffrey. To me, if you expect him to be the number two right away, I think you're throwing too much expectation on him. I think by middle of the season to end of the season, maybe you see him step up. But you also got to remember he was the 100th pick. You don't always have a guy step in that's drafted there and help out right away. But I think in the next couple of years, as they continue to develop him, he is going to be a big part of it. But I think to Kevin's point, yeah, it does feel like a difference is coming for this team. And a lot of it is due to that rookie draft class, and specifically those guys early on. But you got to look at some of the other guys as well, like a Tyler Owens was an undrafted free agent. I'm hoping he makes the team. He looks like a dog to the point that he was making. Like, there are no more the culture issues that were there before, either if they're still there, they're going to be gotten rid of, or they're going to be whipped into shape. Like, seriously, they're not going to put up with moping. If you're not there to work, like I said before, we view these guys because we've been here for however many years you've been a fan of this team. You look at Jamin Davis, you see first-round pick. You see Emmanuel Forbes, you see first-round pick. You see all these different guys, you label them with different things. You know what Adam Peters steps in with? A blank slate. Blank slate. Now, Jaden Daniels is a first-round pick of his. You know, Mikey Sandro still is a second-round pick. Those guys carry it now. But the guys that were here before, it's a blank slate. And Adam Peters can do whatever he wants, and I like that. I really do. Let's get out to Rod in Landover. Rod, what's going on?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer taking you up until 3 o'clock. Right now we're talking about the Jahan Dotson trade. What'd you make of it? 800-636-1067. MGM National Harbor listener lines are open. You can tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. I just feel like so many people look at the Dotson pick, and they, really any of Rivera's first-round picks outside of Chase Young, and they feel like, oh, they're reaches, and that's why they suck. And I can't overstate how wrong that is. It's one thing, like we were talking in the break, Max, it's one thing if they took a guy like an Alex Leatherwood, if you're the Raiders, if you remember, and he wasn't supposed to go until, I think, like the third or fourth round. Like, he just wasn't as talented, and they took him in the first. Or go back to a Darius Heyward-Bey, another guy that was a deeper down the board kind of guy, and they reached in the first round and took him because of one specific trait, speed, right? Dotson, at worst, was going top two. He was a top 50 pick, more than likely. You're telling me that if the Green Bay Packers or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the Kansas City Chiefs took a guy in the top 50, say 48th overall, they wouldn't still expect the guy to have 800 yards receiving pretty much on a yearly basis? I think you're wrong there. I think the idea that, oh, they were so overdrafted, they're not talented, that's wrong. They just never developed these guys into being what they should be. 800-636-1067. Let's get out to Kevin in Arlington. Kevin, what's going on?
Hey, Toby. Thank you for taking my call. I love this topic. I have a couple thoughts about it. First of all, the culture that Ron wanted was, as you say, a complete disaster. And the reality is, you can go back and read about it in Snyder's first full year as owner, 99. It was stated then, there was this quote-unquote Club Med culture that had grown up out of Nashburn between the 91 greatest Skins team ever and when he got the team in 99. And it only got worse from there. And it was also a star system where he played favorites, as, you know, we saw it with Robert, et cetera. So all of that was cancerous to win. And that's gone now.
Yeah.
One of the things, though, about Ron and his Marty Party brain trust, and I think you'll remember this, they had their guys that they liked. And so the perfect example is Manny Forbes was their guy. They liked him. And there's Christian Gonzalez unexpectedly there, mm-hmm. and we don't take him. He's clearly the better player.
Yeah.
And there were, you know, I think a similar thing happened with Jamin Davis. They there was 1 year sample of great production at Kentucky, and they got excited about it. They saw the physicality, et cetera. Well, the guy to pick was Joker, and half of the fan base knew it, and he just got extended in Cleveland for big money. So they were just terrible at this, all right? They just were. I agree with you. Development is a two-way path. You need the coaching and the training. in the medical, you also need dogs. One thing I'm certain of more than anything as we are approaching the last preseason game, there's no longer a culture problem. There's a roster talent problem courtesy of the last regime, and it's going to take some time.
Yeah.
But here's the last thing I kind of want to close on. I want to hear what you think. I'm an intuitive person. You know, when you take like the Myers-Briggs test, I score really high on intuitive. And so this may be more, I'm hoping, than wishful thinking. I just have this feeling that in the top 100 picks, in the three rounds where we got Jaden, Mikey, Johnny, we got Luke, we got Ben, and we got Brandon. I see that rookie class ascending quickly. And I think if I'm right about that, and the rest of the roster remains relatively healthy, that's how we're going to surprise. That's how we're going to rise up. I'm not suggesting we're going to be the Houston Texans of 2024. Houston had a lot more talent on that roster. But I believe in these dogs. They've got Sinnott and Luke and Coleman especially.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's being overlooked outside the market. Maybe I'll have egg on my face come November. But that, to me, the fact we do have Luke in the mix, I'm excited about it. I mean, his old man, it took him one or two years. He was drafted by the Giants, had 1 year with Shanahan and Frisco when they won the Super Bowl, and that's where he took off. And then when he went to Denver.
Sure. Kevin, I got some other guys on the line. Appreciate the phone call, though, man.
Okay, I want to hear what you think about that after you talk.
Absolutely. I think when you look at – I got this feeling – I don't know if anyone else felt it, and I'm not seeing just like from being around here, I'm saying from being out in Ashburn, I got this feeling that the rookie class was the one to turn things around. And those guys that he's talking about, they feel like the foundation. And so the foundation might take a little bit, it might take a year or two to build, but Jaden Daniels looks like a dude. Mikey Sanristil might already be the best corner and a top four defensive player on that side of the ball already for the team. Ben Sinnott, he hasn't even shown well in training camp overall from practices. But then you look what he did in the first preseason game against the Jets, and maybe there's some juice to still be squeezed there. If Brandon Coleman steps in and is able to play, and I've laid this out plenty of times before, he doesn't have to play Pro Bowl caliber left tackle. If he plays average left tackle, you win. Because of the fact that you got him where you did, and you found a starting left tackle. So that, to me, feels like the foundation. And Luke McCaffrey, I don't know what you're going to get out of McCaffrey. To me, if you expect him to be the number two right away, I think you're throwing too much expectation on him. I think by middle of the season to end of the season, maybe you see him step up. But you also got to remember he was the 100th pick. You don't always have a guy step in that's drafted there and help out right away. But I think in the next couple of years, as they continue to develop him, he is going to be a big part of it. But I think to Kevin's point, yeah, it does feel like a difference is coming for this team. And a lot of it is due to that rookie draft class, and specifically those guys early on. But you got to look at some of the other guys as well, like a Tyler Owens was an undrafted free agent. I'm hoping he makes the team. He looks like a dog to the point that he was making. Like, there are no more the culture issues that were there before, either if they're still there, they're going to be gotten rid of, or they're going to be whipped into shape. Like, seriously, they're not going to put up with moping. If you're not there to work, like I said before, we view these guys because we've been here for however many years you've been a fan of this team. You look at Jamin Davis, you see first-round pick. You see Emmanuel Forbes, you see first-round pick. You see all these different guys, you label them with different things. You know what Adam Peters steps in with? A blank slate. Blank slate. Now, Jaden Daniels is a first-round pick of his. You know, Mikey Sandro still is a second-round pick. Those guys carry it now. But the guys that were here before, it's a blank slate. And Adam Peters can do whatever he wants, and I like that. I really do. Let's get out to Rod in Landover. Rod, what's going on?
Hey, man, what's up? How you doing?
Doing great, Rod.
I think, man, you know, piggybacking on something you were saying about, you know, besides coaching, man, environment plays a big deal. Like, I could see Dotson going to Philly doing okay. So, you know, sometimes, you know, players that you get, when you surround them with other good players, they bring out the best in them. You know, you hear that a lot in basketball, football, that when you take guys that are average and you put them with guys that are good, the guys that are good tend to bring out the best out of the guys that are average. And I think with our team, we've never really had no guys that were the best. So I think a lot of times when we draft some of these guys, man, they fall in, they may be kind of average, and they just never develop. You know, but then when we ship them guys to other teams and they get around better players, better coaches, they tend to develop. So I think a lot of that, looking at Forbes, I remember when they drafted Forbes, one of the things they were saying about him in college was, you know, he's a ball hawk. You know, he intercepts the ball. He takes it back to the house. He had all these touchdowns and all this other stuff. But when you come to the pros and you're playing against these pro receivers, one thing that a cornerback is going to need is a good front seven. He's going to need that front seven to get to the quarterbacks, and our front seven don't do that.
Yeah.
So I think they drafted a guy that had potential, but he got drafted by a team that didn't have a good front seven. That if you were to take that same guy and he got drafted by San Francisco, it may be a little bit different.
Yeah.
So I think coaching, players, environment, you name it, man, all that stuff play a role. And then obviously the player himself. You know, but I will say this last thing. I think a guy like Jaden Daniels, with the swag that he got, you know, the way that he carry himself, the way it sounds like some of these guys are already looking up to him as a rookie. I mean, I think with him, with the coaching staff that we have now, I think he can help bring out the best in some of these players.
100%. Rod, appreciate it. Yeah, I think, and to his point, when you talk about the culture and building these guys up, you want to know how you build a culture. Have your quarterback show up every single morning at 5 a.m. working harder than everybody else. That's how you do it. And you listen to anybody that has played on a really good team, whether it's baseball, whether it's basketball or football, and what do they talk about? Yeah, the coach was important, obviously, but it's a player-led team. The players initiate the work ethic and guys putting in that extra bit of work. The players initiate that. You know, if Dan Quinn wants to, a lot of new rules so that he can't necessarily do all these things, but if Dan Quinn wants to mandate everybody's got to be at the facility by 7 o'clock, great. And you can get guys to work hard. But you just think about in your own life for various things. If there's another dude that is a peer of yours that is working harder that you're competing with or competing against or trying to get better with so that you can put the best product out there, if that person's doing more and going above and beyond, it makes you want to go above and beyond. That's what Jaden's doing over there. And I think that's what's so obvious. And that's why everything makes me feel good they're going in the right direction. We don't know what's going to happen on the football yet with Jaden. But we do know that he's the hardest worker in the building. He's showing up early every single day, and that's causing other guys to show up early. So I think, too, the other thing off of that, he talked about Emmanuel Forbes. I think sometimes what happens with these pros is you draft a guy incredibly talented like a Forbes, and he is incredibly talented. His technique has always been a bit of an issue. His technique is just questionable at times. And when you get to a professional level, there's so few guys that can just get by on their talent. Just so few. It doesn't matter what sport we're talking about here. There's a handful that can find a way that they can do stuff their own way. But when you get to a certain level, the reason you got there a lot of times is, yes, you're special, but you're also elite at the fundamentals. And I don't know that he's elite at fundamentals yet. Because once you're elite at the fundamentals, then the couple times a game that you need to go make a play, you let your talent shine through. But if you're not elite at the fundamentals to just go play corner without even necessarily having to think about it, you're not thinking through your footwork, you're not thinking through where do my eyes have to be all the time, you're just doing it, and then you're making a play off of that, then you can play instinctual. That's the issue with Forbes, in my opinion. Yes, the front seven, I agree. But even in last year, like, he just... I think I laid out this analogy before, and it feels right to me. Like, when you watch Forbes play corner now versus what you watch on a lot of what he did in college he looked like a corner that played with instincts. Right now, he looks like a wide receiver that's playing cornerback and doesn't know what to do. He's talented. He's got the change of direction ability. He's got the long arms. He's got the ability to do it, but he doesn't quite know what to do. So he's like hesitant, and when you're hesitant at this level, you get crushed. Because the guys are too talented to be hesitant. So he's got to work on that technique and that fundamental to allow that talent to shine through. 800-636-1067. If you're on the line, stay there. We'll make sure to get to you. Also, we're going to talk with Bobby Blanco coming up at 2:30 as we'll get back into some Nationals. Let's keep talking Commanders here on The Fan. Let's get back out to the phones. Let's go to Mark in Landover Hills. Mark, what's going on?
Toby, great show, buddy.
Appreciate
you're spot
it, Mark.
On, my friend.
Appreciate it, Mark.
Hey, Rod was there and you were there, buddy. And let me tell you, the Skins should not even bat an eye to what in their fans to what is going on, because these gentlemen know what they're doing. You can tell that the former regime with their owner did not have a clue. And you are totally right, Toby, about coaching. In sports, it is always about coaching. And the second number would be what you were talking about earlier with the Nets. You will always win with defense. Defense is what makes sports great, if you think about it. Offense is exciting, but defense you have to have, or you will lose every time. You will not be a champion.
Absolutely.
Think about back through the ages of the good Skins teams. They always had excellent defense. Baseball, defense. There is no way that they should change the center fielder of the Nationals, because you are right, Toby. Let me tell you, if they get rid of him and trade him, it better be juicy, buddy, because I don't care what coach you talk about, great managers you talk about, Earl Weaver, Billy Martin, Cobbs, any of those guys, they're going to tell you you got to have defense. And Mr. Young should stay right where he is. Great show, Toby.
Appreciate it, Mark.
I'll get off here, buddy, because I know your lines are full.
Appreciate it, buddy. Yeah, talking about the real quick with the Nationals thing, like, I don't think there's any chance they would trade Jacob Young. If anything, they would just move him to be the fourth outfielder or something of that nature. So I don't think you have to worry, because I don't think they would get a whole lot in terms of return because he can't hit. But I think he's so valuable defensively. I just don't see it. And I think he's right about, you know, defensively in football. Last year, you look at just overall in the sport, like, defenses were better than offenses. And I think a lot of that is the lack of great quarterback play at times. And, you know, but even so, like, think about the Kansas City Chiefs. Did they win because of Mahomes, or did they win because of their defense? They won because of their defense and were helped out because they have the best quarterback in the league. Reality, that's what it is. So you have to have a defense, and you have to, you know, quarterback not to have to play Superman all the time. And in turn, Patrick Mahomes has grown and allowed himself to play in the system, and when he needs to, he pulls his cape out. But it's not as if he's always playing like Superman. Let's get out to Little. Little, what's going on?
What's going on, Toby? Always good to chop it up with you, man.
How you doing, dude?
Shout out to my man, Mark. Mark Orlando, he got good knowledge of the game. Look, man, I'm going to tell you now. Dotson, that's what I want to call in, chop in on Adam, me, Toby.
Sure.
Man, look, I'm at the game a lot of times. You know, I'm a season ticket holder, so I'm at the game. I call him out. Raise your hand, young fella. We need you to run a pump back. We need you to flip the field. We've seen him do it in Penn State. And it's kind of sad, Adam, because, you know, 2 years, you know, Ron passive, I guess, that the demeanor, holding his kid back. But if he got to realize this is a Big Ten network area. We watch Maryland. So we see Penn State. We see what you was doing in college. And for him not to be able to initiate it on this, you know, his demeanor raised, okay, put me back there. Let me try to take it to the house.
Yeah,
you never saw that, man.
I don't know what
it
was.
Never saw that.
Little, appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I agree.
Right.
I don't quite know what it was. I saw something recently. I don't know whether it was true or not, that there was maybe some attitude specifically about having to return punts, and I don't know why. I felt like he could have been a good punt returner for the team, and to me, special teams has gotten taken out a little bit in terms of returns. Punt return, you can do now with the dynamic kickoff. It's a little different with a kick returner. I think it's going to be brought back a little bit. But yeah, I don't know why he didn't try to contribute in other ways. And at times last year, it did seem like he wasn't giving full effort on the field. That was so disappointing. Let's get out to Steve in Bowie. Steve, what's going on?
Good afternoon, Toby. Great show as always.
Appreciate it, Steve.
You had talked about something earlier that Snyder had robbed you young guys of, and that was seeing this team in its heyday. And he definitely robbed you guys of that. Let me try to explain to you what Sundays were like in the late 80s.
Oh, please tell.
And the early 90s, okay? What I'm about to tell you is not even an exaggeration on any level, okay? Your studios are in Southwest D.C. You could drive from Southwest D.C. to Rockville on a Sunday and be there in about 30 minutes because there was no traffic on the street, brother. Nothing. Nobody, okay?
watching the Redskins in the late 80s and the early 90s was must-see television.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, if you were even a little bit of a fan, you were on this team. You loved this team. You followed this team. The reason why people like Gary Clark show up out at the stadium, out at the preseason now, and have lines of fans, I mean, just lines of fans still wanting his autograph, was because of those days and because of those times. He played 25 years ago.
Yeah.
It was like you wouldn't believe. Now, I'm a big fan. I've been to 26 NFL stadiums, got six more to go to. This is the closest thing in 2024 that you're going to see that what it was like. It was just like the Chiefs are today. Now, I'm not saying we're on that level. I'm saying the fandom, how they're just how that whole fan base is in Kansas City. That was the closest thing to what it was like here.
Yeah, Steve.
That's the only way I can describe it to you. It was like you had to see it.
Yeah, okay? I wish, Steve, I got to experience it. Appreciate the phone call, Steve. Yeah, I mentioned earlier that I used to watch VHS tapes on the VCR about the old teams and seeing the stands rock saying, "We want Dallas." I've never been able to experience that. And it's something that I'm not going to be able to experience because they're never going to make a stadium that stands rock like that ever again, more than likely. The closest I got to do was I was at Camp Randall Stadium for Jump Around, and the stands were shaking up and down there. And that's awesome, but I didn't care. You know, it's Wisconsin. I'm not a fan of Wisconsin, so it didn't matter to me. It didn't have like a personal connection. So yeah, we did get robbed of some of that, but I think too, if this team can get back to it, we can experience a version of it. It'll be a more modern version, a different version, but I think we can still get back to that sort of fandom, and I'm hoping that that's going to come down the line here in just a couple of years. Justin in Springfield, we'll make sure to get to you on the other side of the break when I can talk about the Commanders. What do you make of the Dotson trade? Do you like it? We'll talk with Bobby Blanco coming up at 2:30 as well. Let's get back out to the phones. Let's go to Mark in Landover Hills. Mark, what's going on?
Toby, great show, buddy.
Appreciate
You're spot
it, Mark.
On, my friend.
Appreciate it, Mark.
Hey, Rod was there and you were there, buddy. And let me tell you, the Skins should not even bat an eye to what is going on, because these gentlemen know what they're doing. You can tell that the former regime with their owner did not have a clue. And you are totally right, Toby, about coaching. In sports, it is always about coaching. And the second number would be what you were talking about earlier with the Nets. You will always win with defense. Defense is what makes sports great, if you think about it. Offense is exciting, but defense you have to have, or you will lose every time. You will not be a champion.
Absolutely.
Think about back through the ages of the good Skins teams. They always had excellent defense. Baseball, defense. There is no way that they should change the center fielder of the Nationals, because you are right, Toby. Let me tell you, if they get rid of him and trade him, it better be juicy, buddy, because I don't care what coach you talk about, great managers you talk about, Earl Weaver, Billy Martin, Cobbs, any of those guys, they're going to tell you you got to have defense. And Mr. Young should stay right where he is. Great show, Toby. Great
Appreciate
job.
It, Mark.
I'll get off here, buddy, because I know your lines are full.
Appreciate
That's
it.
Told me, buddy.
Yeah, talking about the real quick with the Nationals thing, like, I don't think there's any chance they would trade Jacob Young. If anything, they would just move him to be the fourth outfielder or something of that nature. So I don't think you have to worry, because I don't think they would get a whole lot in terms of return because he can't hit. But I think he's so valuable defensively. I just don't see it. And I think he's right about, you know, defensively in football. Last year, you look at just overall in the sport, like, defenses were better than offenses. And I think a lot of that is the lack of great quarterback play at times. And, you know, but even so, like, think about the Kansas City Chiefs. Did they win because of Mahomes, or did they win because of their defense? They won because of their defense and were helped out because they have the best quarterback in the league. Reality, that's what it is. So you have to have a defense, and you have to, you know, quarterback not to have to play Superman all the time. And in turn, Patrick Mahomes has grown and allowed himself to play in the system, and when he needs to, he pulls his cape out. But it's not as if he's always playing like Superman. Let's get out to Little. Little, what's going on?
What's going on, Toby? Always good to chop it up with you, man.
How you doing, dude?
Shout out to my man, Mark. Mark Orlando, he got good knowledge of the game. Look, man, I'm going to tell you now. Dotson, that's what I want to call in, chop in on Adam, me, Toby.
Sure.
Man, look, I'm at the game a lot of times. You know, I'm season ticket holder, so I'm at the game. I call him out. Raise your hand, young fella. We need you to run a punt back. We need you to flip the field. We've seen him do it in Penn State. And it's kind of sad, Adam, because, you know, 2 years, you know, Ron passive, I guess, that the demeanor, holding his kid back. But he got to realize this is a Big Ten network area. We watch Maryland. So we see Penn State. We see what you was doing in college. And for him not to be able to initiate it on this, you know, his demeanor raised. Okay, put me back there. Let me try to take it to the house.
Yeah.
You never saw that, man.
I don't know what
it
was.
Never saw that, man.
Little, appreciate
never
the phone
that,
call. Toby. Yeah, I agree.
Right.
I don't quite know what it was. I saw something recently. I don't know whether it was true or not, that there was maybe some attitude specifically about having to return punts, and I don't know why. I felt like he could have been a good punt returner for the team. And to me, special teams has gotten taken out a little bit in terms of returns. Punt return, you can do now with the dynamic kickoff. It's a little different with a kick returner. I think it's going to be brought back a little bit. But yeah, I don't know why he didn't try to contribute in other ways. And at times last year, it did seem like he wasn't getting full effort on the field. That was so disappointing. Let's get out to Steve in Bowie. Steve, what's going on?
Good afternoon, Toby. Great show as always.
Appreciate it, Steve.
You had talked about something earlier that Snyder had robbed you young guys of, and that was seeing this team in its heyday. And he definitely robbed you guys of that. Let me try to explain to you what Sundays were like in the late 80s.
Oh, please tell.
And the early 90s, okay? What I'm about to tell you is not even an exaggeration on any level, okay? Your studios are in Southwest D.C. You could drive from Southwest D.C. to Rockville on a Sunday and be there in about 30 minutes because there was no traffic on the street, brother. Nothing. Nobody, okay? Watching the Redskins in the late 80s and the early 90s was must-see television.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, if you were even a little bit of a fan, you were on this team. You love this team. You follow this team. The reason why people like Gary Clark show up out at the stadium, out at the preseason now, and have lines of fans, I mean, just lines of fans still wanting his autograph, was because of those days and because of those times. He played 25 years ago.
Yeah.
It was like you wouldn't believe. Now, I'm a big fan. I've been to 26 NFL stadiums, got 6 more to go to. This is the closest thing in 2024 that you're going to see that what it was like. It was just like the Chiefs are today. Now, I'm not saying we're on that level. I'm saying the fandom, how they're just how that whole fan base is in Kansas City. That was the closest thing to what it was like here.
Yeah, Steve.
That's the only way I can describe it to you. It was like you had to see it.
Yeah,
okay.
I wish, Steve. I wish I got to experience it. Appreciate the phone call, Steve. Yeah, I mentioned earlier that I used to watch VHS tapes on the VCR about the old teams and seeing the stands rock saying, "We want Dallas." I've never been able to experience that. And it's something that I'm not going to be able to experience because they're never going to make a stadium that stands rock like that ever again, more than likely. The closest I got to do was I was at Camp Randall Stadium for Jump Around, and the stands were shaking up and down there. And that's awesome, but I didn't care. You know, it's Wisconsin. I'm not a fan of Wisconsin, so it didn't matter to me. It didn't have like a personal connection. So yeah, we did get robbed of some of that, but I think too, if this team can get back to it, we can experience a version of it. It'll be a more modern version, a different version, but I think we can still get back to that sort of fandom. And I'm hoping that that's going to come down the line here in just a couple of years. Justin in Springfield, we'll make sure to get to you on the other side of the break when I can talk about the Commanders. What do you make of the Dotson trade? Do you like it? We'll talk with Bobby Blanco coming up at 2:30 as well.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.